Good afternoon, everyone. Let me start by reading a couple of verses out of the Proverbs. Just so you know where we're going, we are in the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Very simple, very straightforward. But let me read you a couple of passages out of the Proverbs. The first is Proverbs 6, verses 30 and 31. Proverbs 6, verses 30 and 31. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet, if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. And then let me just turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, this is your word, and we are a thankful people who get to come and study it. Father, will you speak to us during this time together and send us back into our workplaces this afternoon a little bit different because we've been in your presence and in the presence of your people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. Simple, straightforward. In fact, in the original Hebrew language in which the Old Testament was written, it's actually one simple word that translates to no stealing. Just one word. Now, if you follow a lot of the principles that I was taught in terms of preparing a sermon, first we start out with looking at the meaning. Well, the meaning of no stealing means that you shouldn't steal. There's no stealing. Then we go to the historical context and we really dig into that and find out what that meant. Well, stealing in the historical context meant taking something that wasn't yours. And apparently we're not supposed to do it. Then, of course, we have the application, which is, brothers and sisters, no stealing. At this point, I would then pray and we would all go and have lunch, which, of course, we would pay for because we've just been told no stealing. But can it be as simple as that? If we went out on the street, probably not everybody would be able to list what is the eighth commandment. But if you were to ask people, what are the Ten Commandments, they could probably come up with a couple of them. And presumably, you shall not steal, or no stealing, would be one of the ones that they would pick up on. You talk to people, people assume that stealing is wrong. I think. Perhaps it's just that people are lying to us. But let me quote you a few statistics. These statistics are from the Global Retail Theft Barometer. Who knew there was such a thing? But the Global Retail Theft Barometer. Retail theft in this last year is down 5.6%, which, you know, is exciting because the numbers are coming down. But the amount spent on security and theft prevention has gone up 9.7%. And when we talk about the amount of retail theft worldwide going down, we're still talking about 67.3 billion pounds lost to the world retail economy due to theft. Let's bring it home a little closer. These are some UK statistics. Customer theft accounts for a loss of £1.9 billion in the UK. Employee theft accounts for a loss of £1.6 billion. So the employees are doing almost as much stealing as the general public. And the amount spent on security and loss prevention this year was £977 million. And this is just in the retail industry. This is the high street. This is the grocery stores. We're not talking about anything else, just retail. Clearly, people don't know the Eighth Commandment. Or they've skipped the whole application part that says you are not supposed to steal. Well, the Bible talks a little bit Other parts of the Bible talk a little bit about stealing, those verses in Proverbs that we just read. And particularly that last one, it equates a person of God, a person who is a worshiper of God, when they steal, they're actually dishonoring the name of the Lord. Elsewhere, it continues to be very serious. For instance, in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 7, verses 9 to 11 say this: "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house," which he means the temple, "this house which bears my name, and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things'? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord." Or perhaps the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing and lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying." Notice how stealing, simple theft, is equated with murder, equated with adultery, idolatry. Because of this, the land is dying. This isn't as simple as the little child who may steal some sweets from the grocery store. This is a very significant issue. The Bible continually portrays it as a massively important issue. It's not the victimless crime that it's often portrayed as. Now, some of you are probably asking, well, what does this have to do with me? This comment, you wouldn't steal the company car. Most of us, I'm assuming, I don't know all of you, but most of us, I'm assuming, would go, well, of course not. We're not thieves. And I'll say that you look like reasonably, you know, respectable people here today. Let me tell you three very quick stories. The first one is about me. A number of years ago, I was in a bookstore, a large chain in Canada, large store, buying a book. It was around Christmas time, so the queue was massive. I had to spend a lot of time waiting in the queue to buy the book. There's not a whole lot to pay attention to when you're standing in a queue. You just sort of stand there. And I figured out in that time, I was watching how the store works and how the employees work. I figured out how I could steal my book. Just, you know, as I was paying attention to what was happening in the store, I figured out how I could steal my book. And not just, you know, make a dash for the front door and hope that the employees were less in shape than I was so that, you know, I could outrun them. I figured out how I could steal my book, have the employees smile at me and wish me a good afternoon as I walked out the door. It wasn't a foolproof plan. I couldn't continue stealing books indefinitely, but I figured that I could probably get away with a couple of £100 worth of free books. Now, I kind of like books, so the idea was sort of interesting. Free books are always a good thing. You'll be happy to know I didn't steal the book. I continued to wait in the queue, and I paid for it, just like I paid for every other book I've ever had except those given to me as gifts. See, that kind of theft isn't a temptation for me at all. Don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm a minister and I'm so much holier than everybody else. I have my own temptations, my own things that I need to deal with. But that type of theft isn't a temptation for me. On the other hand, I have a friend for whom that is a massive, massive temptation. He's told me that every time he is in a shop of any kind, he has to make a conscious decision not to steal something. The lure of stealing something, the adrenaline rush that comes with being able to walk out of a store with something in your pocket or your bag, is not overwhelming. Thankfully, he's a Christian. Temptation is never overwhelming. But it's something that he deals with every day, every time he's in a shop of any kind. Third story, another friend of mine, Christian, worked for a Christian organization. Had you asked him, "Do you have a problem with stealing?" he'd say, "No, I don't. In fact, I'm around cash all of the time." This Christian organization that he was involved with, he ran a lot of events, event management, things like that. And there was often a great deal of cash in his office. It was never an issue. Until one day, he was going away for the weekend. He needed some cash, but it was a long Friday. He was trying to get away. He had to work a little bit late. He didn't have time to go to the bank to get some cash. And the idea came to him, I could just take some of this money, borrow some of the money that's in my desk. First thing Monday morning, I'll go to the bank and I'll replace it. And that's what he did. He took the money. It weighed on him heavily. On Monday morning, the first thing he did is he was at the bank when it opened, rushed back to his office, put the cash away, and went, now I can relax. Now I can feel better. And no one ever knew. The second time he had to do that, it didn't weigh on him nearly as heavily over the course of the weekend. The third time, he didn't even bother trying to go to the bank on the Friday. And eventually, he never bothered to go back to the bank on Monday. After a number of months, when he was caught, he had stolen multiple thousands of pounds from this organization. Completely destroyed his reputation, brought shame on his family, dishonored the Lord, as the proverb told us, dishonored the organization. It was a massive blow to him, to his family, to his friends. Many of us were shocked. Would never have thought that this was the kind of person that he was. And for him, it was just incremental steps, a couple of bad decisions that probably certainly weren't criminal in and of themselves, but they led him down a path to becoming a thief, to becoming an embezzler. Do any of these three stories correspond to your life? Is stealing not an issue at all, or so we think? Is stealing a constant issue for us? Or are we in places, situations, where it could become an issue? Maybe an area where we're not protecting ourselves as we ought. Let me ask this, what does stealing look like in your workplace? Is it office supplies? Is it using the copy machine, the franking machine? Perhaps you're like me and you've worked for a time in the academic world. Plagiarism is a big deal in the academic world. I was shocked to find out this week, as I was doing some research for my sermon, I was doing some preparation. A good friend of mine in Canada had just preached a sermon on this topic a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, well, I'll see what other sort of sermons are out there. Who else is talking about this? And I typed into my search engine, I typed in steal and sermon, assuming that I was going to get sermons on stealing. What I got was articles and blog posts about ministers who steal sermons from other ministers. I couldn't believe it. Over and over and over again, there were so many different articles about people, ministers, who don't have time, don't take the time to prepare a sermon, or mistakenly think that someone else's sermon is definitely going to be better than theirs. And they take it and they don't attribute it to them, and they just preach it. I mean, it would be incredibly easy to do. Another friend of mine in Vancouver, he's one of the best preachers I've ever heard, if not the best. Most of you wouldn't know who he is. I could easily take his sermons and it wouldn't come back to him at all. Most of you wouldn't know. And apparently, this type of thing is a massive, massive problem. But as I've been thinking about this and talking with people about it, I think possibly the area in which theft can be a temptation, can be perhaps something that we don't even notice, is theft of time. This is a workplace service. Most of us are working. We have jobs. How are we spending our time? We're paid to be places. We're paid to actually work. Our employers are paying us so that we actually put some effort into what we're doing, putting our best effort into what we're actually doing. If you, for instance, pay for a plumber to come and do some work in your house, you want them to put their best effort forward. And if you were to come home in the middle of the day and the plumber was sitting around drinking your coffee, you'd say, you know, there's something wrong here. If you ever find yourself in a bit of a health crisis and you spend some time in the hospital, you want the medical professionals to be putting their best effort forward in caring for you or for caring for someone that you love. We're all paid to put our best effort forward, and we need to be people who are doing that, not stealing time from our employers, which of course equates to stealing money. So what do we do in the midst of these sort of situations, these sort of temptations, with a very clear heading, like no stealing? Well, the first thing we probably do is we pray for God's guidance. We ask God for wisdom. Where are there places in our lives that we're stealing? Or perhaps better, are there places in our lives where we're stealing? How is it that we're spending our time at work? Are we using our resources in the way that we're supposed to be using our resources? So we pray and we ask the Lord for wisdom. As the Lord gives wisdom, we repent where that's necessary. If there are places that we're stealing, we repent of those. We turn the other way. We don't steal anymore. We make restitution. And a third, and I think incredibly important way, is that we guard ourselves. So my friend who has the issue with stealing, it wouldn't be a good idea for him to walk around Debenhams with a large empty bag over his shoulder. It would be far too simple for things to start going in there. My friend who worked with a lot of cash should have put some parameters in place that would guard him against the sort of temptation that he fell into. And that comes from this wisdom that we've prayed and asked God for. How do we guard ourselves against this? And then, of course, a great verse out of the New Testament that speaks of this is Ephesians 4, verse 28. The Apostle Paul says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." We see this idea over and over again with all of these Ten Commandments. We're not only not supposed to do something, we're supposed to do something else instead. So we're not supposed to steal, yet we're supposed to work, because work is good. Work is a gift from God. Many of us know this, particularly in this economy. Work is a gift from God. So no stealing, but we work and we live our lives generously, sharing with those who are in need. So remember, no stealing, the eighth commandment, but rather work. Be generous, live generously with what you've been given. Now, let's pray, and then we'll eat lunch, which we will pay for. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak truth to us so generously through it. Lord, some of us in this room may be in difficult situations, maybe in uncomfortable situations where we need to repent, and repentance may have significant consequences. Lord, give us courage to do that where we need to. And give us wisdom, Lord, as we all find ourselves in situations which could be compromising. Help us not to dishonor you, but to glorify you through the way that we spend our time, spend our money, through all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.